Today I'm bringing you the last message in this series. I've been preaching on the message faith, the series of messages, faith, hope, and love. It's a revisiting of a series of messages I did several years ago. The Lord put it on my heart to do it again. And so this is the last message, love. My topic today is on love. We're going to be talking about love. Paul says that the greatest of these is love. That's not hard to see. It's not hard to see what Paul meant by that. The hard part of today's message is not seeing how important love is. It's actually limiting the scope of this topic. It's a huge topic. When you look in the Bible for the word love, there is so much there. And so it becomes this big topic to cover, and we want to actually limit it. And that's the hard part. There are too many scriptures on love. Love is obviously a huge part of the Old Testament and the New Testament. That I'm talking about both sides of the Bible there, talking about the beginning and the end, all through cover to cover. Love is a huge topic that we can talk about. Love is the glue that holds faith and hope together. It's that glue that keeps our faith and hope bound together. Love is the guardrail that keeps us from falling into extremes. Love is the spotlight that draws people in to want to experience faith and hope. It's obviously a huge part of the Bible, and it's a huge part when we talk about faith and hope in this series of messages. Just as we applied our faith and our hope over the last couple of weeks, and you know, I give you a lot of scripture, but I also try to always encourage you to apply that scripture, put it into practice. And we've been trying to apply our faith and hope over the last couple of weeks. Today we're going to start to apply this message of love. We want to put love into practice today. If we do, I believe it will transform us, not just ourselves, but it will also transform those that are around us, those that are around you. They'll be transformed when you put this love into practice. We really could have a revival simply because of love. Love is a powerful topic for us today. Our understanding love comes first from understanding God's love towards us. God loves you. God is passionate about you. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13, it says, He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. He will love and he will bless you. Through Christ and through the covenant of Christ, we are also God's people. We too are his people, grafted in through Christ Jesus. So not only does God want to bless his people here in Deuteronomy, he wants to bless you as God's people, just like God's people of the past. We are called to put away sin in our lives. We're called to put away our past life, the old man, if you will, and we are to serve the Lord. Just as God called his people in the past to do, so are we also to do, putting away the old man and living in the new man. Those he calls his people, that's you and me, guys. Those he calls his people, he loves. He loves you. He's passionate about you. God loves you and cares about you so much, more than we could ever think or imagine, more than we could ever know. We are his people, and he loves you, and he wants the best for your life. Those he calls his people, again, that's you and that's me, he wants to bless. He wants to bless you. He wants to reward you for seeking him. Those that seek him, he wants to reward. He wants to bless them that seek after him with all their heart. He wants to bless your work. He wants to bless your farm. God wants to bless what you do. He wants to take care of you. God loves you so much. Yet God's ultimate expression of his love is seen, I think, is seen best in his giving us his son, Jesus. Over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, it says, "In this way, the love of God was revealed to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." In this way, the love of God is revealed. In this way, the love of God is shown and manifested. God revealed his love in what? What does the scripture say? By giving us Jesus. Jesus came. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came. He was born. He gave up his place in heaven to come and be born as a little baby. And then he grew as a man, he lived, and then he died for us. There could be no greater expression of the love of God in doing this. Through this great gift of his love, we can have eternal life. Through this great gift of God's love, our life, we can have life everlasting. We can live forever with the Lord when Jesus returns, but also that our life can be changed here and now. We can have new life in Christ here. You can be transformed in your heart here and now. This is a pure gift of God, not because of our love. God alone gave this. We did not deserve this gift that God gave. We did not deserve the love that he poured out on us by giving us Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. We did not deserve that. We are sinners. We deserve the punishment of that sin. We continue to mess up. We continue to make mistakes. We continue to not deserve the love that God is pouring out on us through Jesus Christ. I am so thankful today for the love of Jesus. And this great gift is boiled down in the final words here. He sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice. Atonement, that's an interesting word. It actually means, it really is an interesting word. It means at one minute. It's the idea of us being able to come back to place of unity with the Lord. At one minute, atonement. We're talking about reconciliation. That's a big word right there. Reconciliation, that we are restored in our relationship to the Lord because sin separated us from God. But through Jesus Christ, we are restored in that relationship back to him. Jesus did it. He did it to bring us back to him because he loves us. You know, we have some, my wife and I, we have some friends whose daughter have gone to China. I just found out recently that their daughter went to China, and I guess she's been there for a while. I can't even imagine allowing my child to move away, not only to move away, but I can't even imagine them going so far away that I would never get to see them again. That's so hard for me, thinking of my own children, that's so hard for me to imagine my children moving away to where I could not be able to see them. Can you even imagine, think about that, and think, can you even imagine the love that God had for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross? As a parent, I can't even begin to comprehend that. And all of this to restore our relationship to him. You can be restored to the Father now. Now is your chance. You don't have to wait. Receive now what Jesus did for you. Jesus' blood has already been shed. We did not deserve it. You do not deserve it. We never could deserve, but he did it for you. receive it now. As I've said over the last few weeks, if you are ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pause this YouTube video, stop the video, and ask the Lord to come into your heart. Receive him as your Lord and Savior right now. We're starting to understand God's love for us just a little bit. We are then to reciprocate that love. We are thus commanded to love in him in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 38. It reads, Jesus said to, and he's talking to the lawyer. I accidentally put the words lawyer on there. That was my interpolation into my text. Those words are not in your Bible. Jesus said to him, my interpolation to the lawyer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord. Jesus quotes the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You can look up that on your own in your own Bibles. Jesus is quoting scripture. It's a command from the Lord. It's a law of the Lord. God's people were to love him with all they had. Everything that they had, all their heart, all their soul, everything that they had, they were to love him with. Every aspect of their life belonged to the Lord. That's the way that God, and he commanded it that way. God loves you with all. We see that. God loved us with everything he has. He sent his own son. He expresses this love through blessing us, through taking care of us, through guiding us, through sending Jesus, the greatest expression of his love, Jesus to die on the cross for us. He expresses this love even through correction. We don't always like the correction, but the Bible shows us that when he needs to, God will correct us and redirect us. Bottom line, God loves you with everything. God loves you with all. And in return, we are to love God with our all. We're to love him with our entire inward being, our whole inward man. Our whole heart belongs to the Lord. We're to love him with our inward, we're to love him with our outward being. Every aspect of our physical life belongs to the Lord. Are we serving the Lord? Are we loving the Lord in our actions every single day? And we're to love him through our willpower, our ability, our choices. We love God with all of it. If you do this, you are fulfilling the law of God. If you do this, you are doing what God's word in the Old Testament says, but you're also doing what Jesus said in the New Testament. You are fulfilling the commands of the Lord. We want to be a lawful Christian. I'm sure you want to be a lawful Christian. We want to follow God's word. Love God. Love him with all your heart and soul and mind. And in so doing, you are fulfilling God's law and fulfilling the commands of Jesus Christ by loving him with everything. This is the absolute greatest thing that we could do. The absolute greatest thing we could do is to love him. There's nothing greater. There's nothing better. Nothing greater than this. What keeps you back, friends, from weeping before him? What keeps you back from dancing before him? What keeps you back from shouting unto him with praise? What keeps you back from whispering words of love to him? There is no law forbidding this. I have looked in scripture. I can't find a law forbidding me from getting too excited about the Lord. God calls us to love him with all our heart and soul. I can't find anything forbidding that in scripture. There is no law against it. Is he not greater to us? Is he not the best thing? I don't want to neglect the fact that many of you show God love in your faithfulness, in the quiet ways. I get excited about the Lord. I really do. I can shout and I can praise and I can dance, but I realize that many of you love him by your faithfulness. I'm happy for your faithfulness to God. I'm happy and excited that you continue to be faithful to the Lord. Love for God is more. We know that the love for God is more than mere lip service. It is shown in our lives. In John chapter 14, verse 23, it reads, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will dwell with him. They'll come and dwell with us. If anyone loves Jesus, he will keep my word. Perhaps the simplest expression of our love can be seen in treating the Lord's commands with seriousness. Perhaps the easiest way for us to express our loves, the simplest way to express our loves, for us to truly show God that we love him, is by living moral lives, by living lives that follow God's word. That is an absolutely simple and perfect way for us to express our love to the Lord. And so for so many of you, I see the faithfulness in your life. And I'm grateful for that faithfulness I see, because you're expressing to the Lord that you love him. Those that love God in seriousness are lovers of his word. The Bible shows us this. The book, this great book, is essential. Those that truly love the Lord in seriousness, this book is so essential to your life. You are counted as faithful followers of his word when you are lovers of him. Think about those that have gone before us. Recently, a great brother in the Lord passed away. His name was Brother Paul Heveland. I knew him when I was younger. We've had so many in the past that have gone before us who have gone on to be with the Lord. Roy and Shirley Keim from our own church, Ken and Gladys McCoy from our own church, great lovers of the Lord. And how did they express that love? By their faithfulness to the Lord. So many more that we could think of. You probably have several people in your mind right now. They loved the book. Think about them. They loved the book. They loved the word of God. They spoke the book. They spoke the book a lot. They love studying the book and talking about the book. They use the book in their homes. Their home life resembled the word of God. It resembled the book. I remember Pa and Ma Patchen from Springville Academy. A lot of people loved them dearly. Dear people of God. I remember Pa and Ma Patchen having a quote above their TV, and it was a scripture, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That little scripture that just sat above their TV. Friends, may we endeavor to model ourselves after these great people and become lovers of God's word, people of the book, lovers of God, lovers of his word, people of the book. That's who we need to be. That's who we should want to be as Christians. And see what John in the passage there says, God reciprocates your love back to you. If anyone loves me, God gives that love right back by his presence, by his spirit. He comes and he dwells in you. He reciprocates that love and he blesses you. He gives you favor. He brings, of course, correction when correction need be, but God reciprocates that love. He loved you first, then you love him, and he continues to reciprocate. That is beautiful. The relationship, we call it a relationship for a reason, because he loves us, we love him, and he loves us, and it continues to reciprocate. Friends, what father wouldn't love his child? But then as a child loves him and runs into his arms, that father can't help but wrap his arms around him and return that love, reciprocate that love. The Father, our Father God, is the same with us. He wants to pour his love right back into you. He loved you. You love him. And in turn, he wants to love you. He wants to reciprocate that love. Friends, do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have the Holy Spirit strength in your life? Do you have that strength that comes only from God. How about becoming a lover of God? How about becoming expressing that love by becoming a person of the book? How about seeking him with all your heart, all your soul? How about treating the book of God with seriousness? God will reciprocate that love. He will fill you with that strength that you're looking for. I guarantee it. God will fill you with his spirit, his strength. Become a lover of God. Seek him with all your heart. And if you do, we understand God's, we are starting to understand God's love for us. We reciprocate that love. And if you reciprocate that love, God's love will have its work within your heart. It'll begin to diffuse into your heart. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, now hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been, was it say, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God is poured out. This mighty God who loves you so much pours his love into your heart. You experience the majesty of his presence and peace. You experience his goodness in your heart. You experience the glory of God in your heart. He pours himself into you. You feel his love. See how you can see how it is affecting your own thoughts towards yourself, towards others. You realize you are loved. As God begins to pour his love into you, you see yourself through a different lens, through a different light. You realize you are loved. God loves you. This kind of love changes a man or woman. It changes a person. It transforms your heart. A man named John thought that he was being too harsh for God to love him, live too harsh of a life. John worked hard at a factory, and we're talking about a different John here, not the Bible John, but a man named John, he was a harsh man. He worked hard at the factory, and he would get tired, sometimes come home and get mean to his family. Mr. John didn't see how the Lord could love him. One day, John heard the preaching of the word and he accepted the Lord's love, just like you can do right now. John began to see the changes in his thoughts and began to see how he saw his family differently. He began to love them more. And what made the difference? John realized it was God's love that was working in him. You see, this God that we serve, this is God's work through his spirit already given to us. God is working through his spirit into our hearts, into our lives. We are not manifesting these thoughts or feelings. We are not producing this kind of love that God loves us with. We are not manifesting this. We're not doing this. This is not a work of man. God is doing his work in you. This is God's love, God's work in you, in your life, there at home. If you wait, listen, and look to God, as we've been talking over the last couple of weeks, talking about waiting on the Lord and looking in faith and having that expectation of hope, as you begin to look to God, you will experience his spirit in your heart, and you can experience it at home right now. And guess what? The love of God will be poured into you. That incredible, beautiful love of God can begin to, just like John, can begin to change and transform the way you look at yourself and the way that you look at others. God's love is perfected in us. A different John in the Bible, wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God's love is perfected in us. Catch that, perfected in us, so that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. That love perfected in us. We have come to know and experience God's love in us. We've come to know and experience that transformation that God does in our hearts. And that transformation we begin to see in our homes as God has guided and blessed us. We begin to experience that love. We know that love. We've experienced that love. We know this love that God pours out in our hearts. And the more that we experience it, the more we believe it because we've experienced it. The more we see his faithfulness at work in us, and the more that we experience the love, it solidifies in our faith. Our faith in the Lord, our belief in that love is solidified because we've experienced it. The more that we experience it, the more we believe it, what do we come to know? We come to know that God is love, that God is the very expression of love. That love of which God is perfected in us, completed, poured in to us, experienced in our hearts, perfected, completed. By God's Spirit, we can come to know that love which is poured into us. John says that we may have boldness. Our boldness comes from his love in us. We experience him. We know his love. We believe in him. We believe in his love that we've come to know and experience. We come to know him as love, and we become bold about sharing that love with others. You believe that love. You've experienced that love. You know the truth and the reality of that love, and you want to share it with others because it's so real to you. You want to share it with others. Everybody's got to know. We used to sing that song in church. Everybody's got to know who Jesus is. We want to share that love with others. Somebody's got to know. Have you been bold about sharing his love? Have you? The question really falls into whether you have experienced his love and whether you've come to truly believe that love in your heart. Because if you've experienced it and you truly believe it, how can we help but being bold about it? Today, if you haven't experienced that love, if you need to experience that love, ask God to reveal his love to you. Truly experience his love in your heart. Let that love change and transform you. Believe in that love. John says, as he is, so we are. As he is, so we are. We become his voice of his love. We become his hands and his feet of his love. His expression of love reaching out to the world. We are that. We are his expression of love. We are his living epistles. His living letters of his love. We are reciprocating God's love, and it is having its effect in our heart. So we are to express that love to the world. It really is a command from on high. Coming back to the scripture that we used earlier in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor. The first part of Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. I told you that earlier, but the second part, he quotes from Leviticus 19:18. You can look in your Bibles later on, but he talks about loving our neighbor as ourself. As with the previous part of loving God, when we love others, we are also fulfilling God's love and simultaneously fulfilling this command from the Lord. The command from the Lord was directed here specifically towards the church body to love each other. And in the Old Testament too, they were to love each other. They were to take care of each other. Their neighbors were the ones that they saw regularly, the church body. The people that you're around, you're to love your neighbors. The people that you see all the time, maybe people at work, maybe people, whoever you see all the time, those are your neighbors. But especially the body of Christ. They were to love the church body. You are my friend, you are my neighbor. You are my neighbor, and I am to love you. I am commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to love you. I'm grateful for all the times that I, just thinking back, I'm grateful for all the times that I needed help with fixing something in my home, and then somebody came and helped me fix it. They were a good neighbor. Or needed help with my car, and they gave me a hand in helping out with my car. Or that all these times that a church member reached out and helped me and my family out. As a younger man, I recall a time that my car broke down. It was before I was married. And a church member provided me a used car to help me get around since my other car was broke down. Afterwards, I didn't know what to do with the old car. The old car was, it was junk. And my pastor at the time helped me figure this out. You see, church members, the neighbors, loving, show, expressing that love, loving me and helping me during this time that I needed as a younger man. This was the church body loving its own. Think of someone at church today that you can express. Think right now of someone that you can express God's love for today. Call them up. Email them. Send them a note. Show them, express to them God's love. And this love, this same love, is to be expressed not only towards our fellow church members, but also towards strangers. It's good to love those that we know, but in the book of Leviticus, the Lord also calls us to love the stranger and the enemy. The stranger and the enemy. The stranger, the one who we don't know as well, the one that doesn't always come to church with us, our next door neighbor that we have no clue who they are, the stranger, we're to love them. The enemy, the one that we're at odds with, the one that we're frustrated with, that person that we just don't get along with, we're to love them as well according to God's word. We are to love them with no partiality. We're to love them the same way we love all our friends. In our family, we're to show them God's love, not to treat them lesser or better than anybody else, but to show them God's love equally. Think of how you've approached strangers in the past. Have you been friendly to them? Were you helpful with them? Did you help them out in some way? Or did you pretend like you just didn't see them? Well, act like they just weren't there. Think about someone that has frustrated you. Have you been irritable towards them? Have you been frustrated with them? Have you been impatient with them? Or did you allow the Lord's love to be expressed towards them? This kind of love is tough. I'm not gonna lie about that. It's tough to love people like that, especially the people we're frustrated with, and even the neighbor, the strangers that we don't know as well. It's hard to show this kind of love. But we've seen how it is that God's love works in us and through us. Our love from God in us, that transformation, that love that God pours into you becomes actions of love towards others. In 1 John chapter 3, my little children, let us love not in word and speech, but in action and truth. I want to read that again. That is so important. My little children, let us love not in word and speech, but in action and truth. Love in word and speech, action and truth. God's love is at work in our hearts. It changes us. It causes us to see others differently. It causes our hearts to be, our eyes to be opened to how we need to show that love towards others. This love then takes on the form of speech and words. You tell them that you love them. You express God's love towards them. You tell them how God loves, how Jesus died for them. You share the good news with them. The very expression of God's love that he died, that he sent Jesus to die, Jesus died for them. You tell them about that. You pray with them. You use your words to pray with them. You encourage them. All these ways that we use our speech and our words to talk to people about the love of God, to show the love of God to them. And this is all important. But this love must be accompanied by behaviors, action, and evidence. They need to see this love. Not just hear it, but also see it. They need both, actually, to be quite honest with you. They need to hear it, but they also need to see it. We need to show our love in our actions, show the evidence of our love, doing good deeds to help others, showing that love in our behaviors, taking them food if they need food, helping them to fix their car, all these ways that we can show people that we love and we care about them, going beyond ourselves, outside of our own self. And I know it's really hard with everything going on right now, to go outside of even your home right now. But think of someone today that you know needs to be encouraged. Call them up. Use your words. Use your speech. Call them up and tell them how proud you are of them. Tell them, encourage them. Tell them how much God loves them. But also think of someone that needs a helping hand. Of course, we need to wait till we're not all being isolated, and you know, that way we can actually go and help them. And I'm not saying go out while you're being isolated and everything going on right now. So maybe this is something we can look forward to. Maybe this is something we can with hope, with expectation, that we can look forward to putting into practice. But we can put certain things into practice. We can call them up right now. We can talk to them. We can text them. We can email them. But maybe we can look forward to eventually, when all this is cleared up, being able to go and actually help them in person, to bless them in person. Love, what a tremendous topic today. What a tremendous topic. God first loved us. We come to know and understand what love truly is through that love that God expressed to us, and especially through sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We are to reciprocate that love back to him. God not only gives us love, but wants us to love him in return in both words and actions, heart and soul. God wants it all. He wants us to love him in every aspect of our life. Maybe one thing that you can do today is to think about what that means. How do I love God in every area of my life? As we love God and experience his love, it will transform us. It will change us, and others will see this. We're to take this love. We're to share it with the whole world.